Hello and welcome to Series 7 of the International Soccer Podcast. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Connor. In the six-part series, we are doing a group-by-group preview of African Cup 2021. And today we'll be talking about Group D, which includes Nigeria, Egypt, Guinea-Bissau, and Sudan. So we'll be doing a team-by-team overview of each of those four teams.
Yeah, and we're going to break the presentation up into three parts. So part one, we're going to kind of give an overview of the group, looking at the country, the size of each country and its population. Part two is by far the longest part. It's a team-by-team overview. And for each team, we'll be looking at their kind of their long history in the World Cup and African Cup, their recent history, their qualifying record, and a brief overview of their players. And then in part three, we'll end with a discussion of their prospects and our predictions. And that includes looking at their rankings, their odds, their head-to-head record, and just a kind of a discussion. So let us begin. Connor, I'm wearing green and white. It's actually not Algeria's true colors, but it's an attempt at it.
Yeah. I'm wearing yellow, which is actually not the jersey color of any of these four.
I should have remained neutral. I just kind of, I just had the green sweater, so
yeah,
the green jersey, so I thought it would be good.
Well, you may remember Nigeria's jersey from the World Cup. It was immensely popular with that kind of green and white kind of.
Yeah, I said Algeria. I kind of meant Nigeria there.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to start with kind of an overview of the tournament.
Yeah, so we should mention that this is called the 2021 African Cup, even though it's being played in 2022. And the host country is Cameroon. There are 24 teams that will be competing. This 24-team format began in 2019. Previously, there was just 16 teams involved. And the top two in each of these six groups will advance, along with the four top third-place finishers into the round of 16. The qualifying structure was a preliminary round to reduce the 52 participants to 48, and then the 48 teams were divided into 12 groups of four, with the top two from each group qualifying.
Super, and you're also going to take us through a bit of the geography here, so let's begin with Nigeria.
All right, so Nigeria is a large country on the Gulf of Guinea in Africa. It's about 925,000 square kilometers. So it's the 14th largest country in Africa out of 54 countries. But its population ranks first. There are 211 million people that live in Nigeria, which is almost 100 million more than the second place country in Africa, Ethiopia. So it's by far the largest in terms of population. And it's the seventh largest population in the world as well.
Wow. Okay, how about Egypt?
So Egypt is just over 1 million square kilometers and is the 12th largest country in Africa. In terms of size, it's about double the size of Spain. And it's also a little bit larger than Nigeria, but not by much. And in terms of population, it has just over 100 million people, which ranks third among African countries and 14th in the world.
All right. That's about half the population of Nigeria then. How about Guinea-Bissau?
Well, we go from two large countries to a very small one. At just 36,000 square kilometers, it's the 42nd largest country in Africa, or 13th smallest, said another way. And it's similar in size to Taiwan. It's a tiny country tucked between Senegal and Guinea on Africa's west coast. And its population is just 1.5 million people, which is the ninth smallest in the continent.
Okay, and finally, Sudan.
Sudan is the third largest country in Africa at 1.8 million square kilometers, so double the size of Nigeria. It's also the 15th largest country in the world. And actually, Sudan was the largest country in Africa prior to South Sudan separating, and now it's third. And its population is 42 million people, so smaller than Nigeria and Egypt, but still good for 10th largest in the country, in the continent.
All right. So we have some of the biggest countries in Africa. Let's do a comparison quickly before we move on.
Yeah. So focusing on population, Nigeria has 211 million people, as we've said, which is double Egypt, which is 102 million, though still quite large. After that, it's Sudan with 42 million. And finally, tiny Guinea-Bissau has just 1.5 million people. So the real minnows in this group.
Right, in terms of population, but they are from pot three. So they're ranked above Sudan, which we'll get into a bit later. Okay, let's begin with Nigeria. And I like their nickname, Connor.
Yeah, the nickname is the Super Eagles.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll begin with an overview of their participation and achievements. So Nigeria's first entry into the World Cup was in 1962, but they joined the Asian African boycott in 1966. They participated constantly then from 1970. Their participation in the African Cup was a bit patchy at first. They joined only two of the five cups after their first entry in 1962, but began participating consistently from 1972. Their local group is the West African Football Union. There have been only five editions of that cup from the first one completed in 2010, and they didn't enter in 2013, but otherwise participated in all of them. They also took part in the 2013 African Cup, which we'll talk about when we get to their other involvements.
Confederations Cup, sorry.
What did I say?
Instead of African Cup, Confederations Cup in 2013.
Oh, yes. Sorry about that. Thanks for the correction. All right, let's go back to the World Cup in terms of achievement. In terms of achievement, their strength is evident in Africa from 1976, but it didn't reflect on the world stage until their first World Cup qualification in 1994. There, they reached the round of 16, and that proved to be their best finish, and they've achieved it three times. As mentioned, though, their power in Africa was evident earlier, especially with their first African Cup title in 1980. It's also a result they've achieved three times. And in the local WAFU Cup, they won the first completed edition in 2010, but have not won it since. So we move on to a kind of a closer look at the World Cup history. And they were unremarkable in the World Cup in early years. Out of their first seven campaigns, they only legitimately came close in 1970, finishing a point behind Morocco. Two draws there with Sudan took its toll. Even though they reached the final round in two times besides, they were not close to qualifying. For example, in 1982, they reached the final playoff with Algeria, but then they lost both legs. In 1994, though, they finally made it, having been dominant in Africa for almost 20 years. They really shined there in 1994, finishing first in their group and reaching the round of 16. Where they lost in extra time to Italy. They reached the Cup six of the next seven times, narrowly losing out to Angola in 2006. In the Cups, they did well. They finished first in the group again in 1998, but fell heavily to Denmark in the round of 16. But 2002 and 2010 saw them earning only 1 point, tying England and South Korea respectively. But in 2014, they passed the group stage for a third time, losing there to France in the round of 16. So let's take a bit of a closer look at how they've done since 2014.
Yeah, so starting with the 2018 World Cup and qualifying in particular, it's no surprise they're one of the top 27 ranked teams in Africa to receive a bye in round one of three. In their round two pairing, they tied Swaziland away in the first leg, but won the second leg to advance. They proved dominant in clearly the toughest group of round three, winning all games at home and beating Zambia away while tying Cameroon and Algeria on the road also. That last game was later awarded to Algeria due to an illegal player, but it didn't change things as they finished first in the group. In the World Cup, they did well to beat Iceland, but lost to Croatia and Argentina and finished third in the group stage. Moving on to 2022, they again received a bye in the first round, which is just a preliminary round. In the group stage, Nigeria won all away games but struggled at home. They beat Liberia in the first game at home, but lost to a late goal to Central African Republic, a real surprise there, and tied Cape Verde in the final game, but nevertheless finished first in round two of three. That puts them into the final round, which is a playoff round, though their opponent has yet to be determined.
Right, that's right. And that will be decided on January 26th, that final round. Now, let's take a look at their African Cup, and we're going to do an overview. And in this series, we're taking a look at the African Cup finals in detail, because that's what we're preparing for. So in terms of an overview, they qualified for the first African Cup they entered in 1963, but they remained a weak team until 1976. Since then, however, they've arguably been the best team in Africa, finishing third or better in 14 of the 16 editions that they qualified for from 1976 to 2013. They did miss four cups in that time, though. Two as a result of protest. That was because South Africa hosted in 1996 and they protested the apartheid policy there. And overall, they've won three titles in 1980, 1994, and 2013. In that light, African Cup in the mid 20-teens were a disaster, with three non-qualifications out of four from 2012 onward. Oddly, they sandwiched a title win in the Cup in 2013, the only one they reached. But that would be a worry had they not emerged with a good 2018 World Cup campaign. And then they finished third in the 2019 African Cup and got back to fairly consistent qualification in 2021. Sorry, I kind of overlapped you there, Connor. You'll be going over those cups in detail.
Yes, that's all right. But you can take us through the African Cup finals in detail.
Yeah, okay. Well, they were a bit lucky to reach their first cup in 1963. They were bested by Guinea, who was then disqualified for not providing neutral officials. This gave Nigeria automatic passage to the cup, but they were no match for Egypt and Sudan, who both beat them heavily. As mentioned above, they remained weak until 1976, but there they proved strong enough to beat Sudan and Egypt along the way to a third place finish, and they repeated that result in the next cup. In 1980, they hosted the cup and won it, beating Algeria 3-0 in the final. That was the start of an impressive record for the long term, at least. In the short term, they were knocked out at the group stage in 1982, something that has never happened since, actually. And they took second in 1984, losing to Cameroon in the final. That featured a semi-final win over Egypt, where they won 8-7 on penalties. In 1986, they failed to qualify, going out at the hands of Zambia. So the impressive period really took traction after 1986, or from 1988 onwards, and they did not fail to qualify again until 2012. In fact, discounting 1996, where they withdrew in protest of South Africa, and 1998, where they were disqualified because of that withdrawal, they had an incredible run. Again, discounting those two tournaments, they finished in the top three every time from 1988 all the way to 2006. They won their second title in 1994 and took second place three times and third place four times. Those second place finishes saw them lose in the final to Cameroon in 1988, host Algeria in 1990 and Cameroon again on penalties when Nigeria co-hosted in 2000. In 2008, they only reached the quarterfinals, having even an unconvincing group stage there, but they took third in 2010. And as we've been driving at, 2012 began a poor period with a shocking non-qualification that year for the first time since 1986. That seemed to be a blip when they won the 2013 African Cup for their third title. However, a ghastly campaign in 2015 saw them finish third in the qualifying group behind South Africa and Congo. So we'll see how it went from 2017 onward.
Yeah, so 2017 was another disgraceful result. And as you mentioned, it was their third failure in four attempts for an African Cup. They weren't admittedly a tough group with the well-performing Egypt, and they had no opportunity to qualify in second place, but they really didn't come close, bested by Egypt and giving up a tie in Tanzania. Chad dropped out of the group, which actually proved damaging because it wiped away one of their victories. So yes, second out of three then, and failed to qualify in 2017. 2019 in Egypt, although they were bested by an improving South Africa in qualifying, losing the first leg at home, Nigeria won all other games over Libya and Seychelles to finish first in the qualifying group. At the tournament, they were unconvincing in the group stage, but won their first two games over Burundi and Guinea on single goals scored fairly late, before losing to upstarts Madagascar and finishing second in the group stage behind them. After that, they beat Cameroon and, on a goal at 89 minutes, South Africa to reach the semifinals, where they lost to Algeria, who would go on to win. They had a third-place match against Tunisia, whom they beat. So it was another third-place finish.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick look at their local cup, but they really don't send their best players to this cup, so it doesn't factor into their history that much. But they are a member of the West African Football Union, or WAFU. The most recent version of the local competition there is the WAFU Nations Cup. They had cups before that. And Nigeria, as we said, doesn't really send their best to this competition. So we'll move on to talk about the Confederation Cup. Nigeria's win of the 2013 African Cup qualified them for this 2013 Confederations Cup. They were knocked out at the group stage there, beating Tahiti in their opening game, but losing to Uruguay and Spain for a group stage exit. All right, so that's Nigeria's history. Maybe we can do a bit of a summary there, Connor.
Yeah, so Nigeria is not among the oldest of the African teams, and they were quite weak in the early years. They really became an African power from 1976 and have arguably the best record among all African teams, finishing in the top three in almost every cup until 2010. That power showed only from 1994 on the world stage, but they have become regular qualifiers for the World Cup. Their African Cup play dropped off precipitously in 2012, though that seems to be in recovery.
Yeah, and in more recent times, they've been wildly inconsistent from 2012 to 17, as we saw them miss three out of four cups. A strong World Cup qualification in 2018, though, and third place in 2019, seems to have put things back on track for them. And we'll see how they did in qualifying here.
Qualifying for this tournament was fairly comfortable, despite two draws with Sierra Leone, who they went actually 4-0 up on by 29 minutes in the home leg, only to allow the comeback for a stunning 4-4 draw. What a game.
Wow.
They otherwise beat Benin and Lesotho twice in a relatively easy group.
Right. Okay, well, they have. We usually look at recent matches at this point because teams play friendlies in lead up to the cup, but they haven't. The World Cup qualifiers were their last matches, so we'll kind of move on to take a quick look at their players here. And in 2021 qualifying, it was Victor Osimhen with five of their goals. Alex Iwobi with three, and Samuel Chukwueze and Paul Onyeachu with two each, and then a couple of single goals by other players. Victor Osimhen also was a top scorer in 2022 World Cup qualifying, and Kelechi Iheanacho got two there. And I should mention that Ahmed Musa got one on a penalty. He's going to be our featured player here.
Yeah, a couple other players just to mention. Their captain, William Troostekong, plays for Watford. He's a central defender. Also in midfield, they have Wilfried Ndidi of Leicester City, a real defensive battler in the midfield. And then Odion Ighalo, who had a spell with Manchester United, is also included in the squad. And both he and Kelechi Iheanacho, as well as Ahmed Musa, may need to step up as Napoli striker Victor Osimhen will not be participating in this cup due to injury.
I wonder if things have changed there because I do see Osimhen and I don't see Odion Ighalo on the roster there.
Okay, we might have to look into that. I was looking today, and it seems like Osimhen's withdrawal was very recent.
Oh, okay.
Due to an injury.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, perhaps a late substitution, but does seem will be a big loss for them, the leading goal scorer in their two most recent qualifying rounds.
Right. Well, we may be able to catch up with that if we do a player podcast for Nigeria. Yeah, okay. Well, let's move on to Musa Ahmed. Actually, he's a kind of on his way out, but he does have the most caps for the team. And do you want to tell us a bit about him?
Yeah, he does have over 100 caps for Nigeria. He made his debut in 2010, and he was born in 1992, so he's 29 years old. So to get 100 caps that quickly is quite amazing. He has 16 goals for that time. He did spend some time in England with Leicester City from 2016 to 18, but he's also spent time with CSKA Moscow. In Russia, Al Nasser in Saudi Arabia, and most recently Fatih Karagümrük in Turkey, where he's been since earlier this year.
Yeah, he participated his first cup with the 2013 African Cup, and he impressed me very much in the 2014 World Cup. He was in that Confederations Cup squad also. But as we noted, they missed a few cups. So his next appearance was in the 2018 World Cup, where he was a sub as well as in the last African Cup. So kind of maybe on his way out, but one of their more experienced and mature players, but still only 29. So, right. So, shall we move on to Egypt?
Yes, let's talk about Egypt, nicknamed the Pharaohs.
The Pharaohs. Okay, well, we'll start with an overview of their participation and achievements. So, Egypt is by far the oldest team in Africa. Their first international game was in 1920. With maybe not by far the oldest team, because I think Kenya and Uganda are played their first game in 1926. But anyway, they do have the honor of being the first African team to qualify for a World Cup, which they did in 1934. Withdrawing, though, from most of the cups until 1974, they completed qualification only once over those 40 years in 1954. But from 1974, they participated consistently. It stands to reason that they were also involved in the first African Cup in 1957. And in fact, they're one of the four founding members of CAF, or the Confederation of African Football. They did withdraw twice in a row in 1965 and 1968, as well as once in 1982. Their local group is the North African Football Association, which does exist but doesn't have a tournament for the senior men. They also take part in some of the Arab Nations Cup tournaments. In terms of achievement, they've reached the World Cup three times, in 1934, 1990, and 2018. They didn't pass the group stage in any of them, though, and they've won the African Cup seven times, including the first two, and then an impressive three in a row from 2006 to 2010. Okay, I should mention too, they also took part in two Confederations Cups, which we'll get to a little bit later. Let's take a bit of a closer look at the World Cup then. They reached the second World Cup in 1934 through one qualifying set with Palestine/Israel, but they lost in the first round of the finals in a single game with the mighty Hungary. Their next qualification in 1954 saw them knocked out in a set with Italy. They came close in 1978, finishing 1 point behind Tunisia, but otherwise they didn't reach the final round until successfully qualifying in 1990. And by the final round, I mean the final round of qualifying. In 1990, they performed well, but finished last. From 1998, they reached the final round of qualification every time and came very close in 2010, losing a dramatic playoff with Algeria. But it would take until 2018 to reach the cup again. And sorry if I've overlapped your bit, Connor, but let's see in detail how that cup went.
Yeah, so Egypt received a bye in round one. And in a round two pairing, they actually lost to Chad in the first leg away. However, they beat them heavily in the home leg and so recovered. In the round three group stage, they bested a poorly performing Ghana and beat Congo twice, but exchanged home wins with second place Uganda to reach their first World Cup since 1990 as group winners. They went into the cup with high hopes due to the tremendous form of star Mohamed Salah, but they were furious when he was injured by Spain's Sergio Ramos in a rough tackle in the UEFA Champions League final shortly before the World Cup started. And in fact, despite scoring their only two goals, Salah did not really perform his best. Despite playing well in their opener, a late goal meant a loss to Uruguay, and they were out when a well-performing Russia overran them in their second game. It was salt on a fatal wound when the lowly ranked Saudi Arabia came from behind to beat them in the third match, leaving Egypt to finish last place in the group stage.
Oh, man. Okay, let's take a look at 2022.
So they once again received a bye in the preliminary round and then went undefeated in the main round of qualifying, but did give up away draws to Gabon and Angola. Nevertheless, they finished well ahead of Gabon and Libya, who were tied for second as the teams below Egypt scrapped among themselves. So Egypt finished a comfortable first in round two of three. So like Nigeria, they go into the final playoff round but await their opponents.
Okay, let's move on then to their African Cup history, and we'll give again an overview and then a deep dive on that one. So there's a strange disparity between their success in African Cup play and in World Cup qualification. Their success in African Cup is unparalleled, coming in the top four in every cup final they reached from 1957 to 1986. And they've won it seven times, including the first two in 1957 and 59, isolated wins in 1986 and 1998, and an impressive three in a row in 2006, 2008, and 2010. There are caveats to most of these claims, however. For example, they did fail to reach the cup five times from 1957 to 86 due to withdrawal or just not qualifying. Three of their seven wins were as host, including 2006, And more seriously, apart from their wins, they had not reached beyond the quarterfinals since 1988. However, in 2008 and 2010, they were unquestionably the best team and seemed on top of Africa. But then in 2012, that most successful period came to a crashing halt, and a shameful qualification precipitated their worst period, missing three cups in a row, having won three cups in a row. In 2017, they returned to the African Cup, and Connor will shortly take us through how they did there. But we're going to pause now for a deeper dive into their history at the finals. So, Egypt had little trouble winning the first two African Cups. Only three teams contended, and they beat Sudan 2-1 and Ethiopia 4-0 in the first tournament, and then reversed that, beating Ethiopia 2-1 and Sudan 4-0 in the second, which they hosted. 1962 saw their first loss, going out to host Ethiopia in the final on extra time to finish second, and then taking third place in the following cup in 1963. After withdrawing from the next two cups, they came back to a more competitive landscape. The cup now had eight teams in the finals and far more teams involved in qualifying, requiring two knockout rounds just to reach the cup. They were nevertheless strong and went undefeated to the semi-final, where they lost to host Sudan. They lost to Sudan in extra time, and they won the third place match over Ivory Coast. That is in 1970 when they returned. 1972 saw their first failure to qualify, something that happened again in 1978, but then not again until 2012. The increasingly tougher competition saw them finish third as host in 1974, and then fourth place over their next three successful qualifications, which takes us to 1984. 1986 saw them win as host, beating Cameroon on penalties in the final, but it was three first-round knockouts in a row after that, and only as far as the quarterfinals for four of the next five cups. That long middling spell from 1988 to 2004 was interrupted with their fourth title in 1998. That was a good performance, actually, beating Ivory Coast on penalties in the quarterfinal, host Burkina Faso in the semi-final, and South Africa, who had newly returned to African competition and were in very fine form, in the final. In that final game against South Africa, they put the matter to rest quickly, scoring at 5-13 in a 2-0 win. So 1998 was good, but as mentioned, it was an outstanding result amidst a long period in the doldrums. But hosting in 2006 started their best period, those three titles in a row, until 2010. They won on penalties over Ivory Coast in 2006. Before their quarterfinal game with Angola in 2006, they sacrificed a cow for good fortune, the video making its rounds on the internet, and it apparently worked as they won 1-0 in the final over Cameroon. It was 1-0 in the final over Ghana in 2008, but that was a denouement following the exciting games beforehand, a 1-1 draw with Cameroon, which went to extra time, where a goal was awarded, though the ball didn't seem to cross the line. And following that, a grudge match semi-final with Algeria, who had shortly before knocked them out in a very intense final qualification for the World Cup. Egypt got their revenge against Algeria here, winning 4-0 in a game where Algeria lost their composure and took three red cards. The iconic image of that period was goalkeeper Essam El Hadary, who Connor, if you remember, in 2018 became the oldest player to take part in a World Cup game.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, the iconic image is him sitting on top of the goal frame in his famous celebratory dance.
I think he was 45 in that World Cup, if memory serves.
Yeah, 45, and got a start in I think it was game three. Anyway, then after that fabulous run, it was a shock when they failed to qualify for three cups in a row. And that was 2000 and, well, we'll... that was 2012, 13, and 15. So let's see how they did in 2017 on their return.
So Egypt announced their arrival back in the African Cup with a convincing qualification over Nigeria. They show good consistency, suffering only a tie in Nigeria, but otherwise winning their games. They beat Tanzania twice and thrashed Chad, who dropped out of the group. Egypt tied their opener at the tournament with Mali and then won by single goals coupled with an impenetrable defense to give them wins over Uganda and Ghana to finish third and to finish first in the group stage despite only scoring two goals. That style continued in the quarterfinals with the win over Morocco, but when Burkina Faso finally broke through the defense, it required a win on penalties in the semifinal. Cameroon breached the defense twice, including a late winner of the kind Egypt had scored to win two of their games, leaving Egypt runners-up. They lost that final to Cameroon by a score of 2-1.
Right. How about 2019?
Yeah, so it was a pretty impressive return in 2017. So in 2019, in qualifying, they exchanged home wins with Tunisia, winning the home leg on an injury time goal, but would have finished in second due to fewer away goals. Sorry, I'm just going to restart that. So in qualifying, they exchanged home wins with Tunisia, winning the home leg on an injury time goal, but would have finished second due to fewer away goals, even if they had not tied a Niger in their last game. They finished second in the qualifying group with the newly named Eswatini, formerly Swaziland, who finished last behind Niger. As hosts of the Cup, an unconvincing start with a narrow win over Zimbabwe, but they went on to beat Uganda and Congo DR to finish first in the group. However, their run came to an end at the hands of an unfancied South Africa, who scored the only goal of the game at 85 minutes. So that was a disappointing run to be knocked out in the round of 16 as hosts.
Yeah, once again, they kind of had high hopes like they had in 2018, but those hopes were dashed. Okay, well, we'll take a quick look at their local participations. And their local grouping is the Union of North African Football. As mentioned above, they have no tournament for senior men. And they the UNAF focuses their attention more on youth and women's soccer, and they also run some club competitions. Egypt's 1998 and 2008 African Cup wins qualified them for the FIFA Confederations Cup. They fell at the group stage both times, earning ties with Bolivia and Mexico in 1999 and a win over Italy in 2009. Actually, they would have advanced even with a loss in the final game to USA, but the 0-3 scoreline put both USA and Italy ahead of them on goal difference, so disappointing there. We'll also take a quick look at the Arab Cup here, which they played in recently. The Arab Cup has a long history, but we're going to keep it short. The first edition was in 1963, and the last was in 2012 until it was revived as a FIFA competition in 2021. So actually, for this tournament in December 2021, Egypt sent some of their top players, at least their top players who were kind of locally based. All but one of them, I think, played in Egypt. And they finished first in the group over Algeria, who had also sent many of their best. They ended up facing host Qatar. Qatar also sent their first team. They faced Qatar in the third place match, where they lost on penalties. So actually, yeah, they lost to Tunisia in the semi-finals there, and then lost to Qatar on penalties to finish fourth. All right, well, Egypt being such an old team has a very long history, so maybe you can summarize it, Connor.
Yeah, Egypt is the oldest team in Africa, and they have the most African Cup titles, which poses them as an African power. However, they're not as successful as Nigeria. Particularly, they've had some lapses, like their World Cup record, a long period of middling results from 1988 to 2004, and three recent African Cups in a row in recent times, makes them an intermittent African power. Hopes being raised and then dashed is something of a theme for Egypt, unfortunately.
Right, and that theme really plays out in recent times. Three African Cups in a row from 2006 to 10, being followed by three tournaments where they failed to qualify, and even worse than that, going out at the hands of minnows like Niger and Central African Republic. A dramatic playoff with Algeria for a 2010 World Cup spot was followed by a 6-1 loss to Ghana in 2014. They returned to the African Cup in 2017 with a second place finish, as Connor showed, and they qualified for the 2018 World Cup, where much hope was built on Mohamed Salah there, only to be crushed when they lost all three games. Hope was renewed when they hosted the 2019 African Cup, but then shattered again when they were knocked out by South Africa in the round of 16. So, of course, they'll be hoping to rectify that in 2021. Let's see how they did in qualifying.
Yeah, so Egypt came first in their qualifying group, although it was a less than convincing performance. Despite going undefeated, they tied in their opener at home at the third place finishers Kenya, who they also tied away. They tied in Comoros in their second game, though they won all other th their other three, including two wins over Togo.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick look at their scorers. Mohamed Salah, of course, is their top player, and we're going to feature him in our feature player. But he only got two goals in the 2021 African Cup, and then a lot of the other goals were scored by just single goals by players. But maybe Mamu Trezeguet and Mohamed Elneny will be familiar names there.
Yeah,
In
playing
20.
with.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, just going to mention they play with Aston Villa and Arsenal, respectively.
Oh, yes, in the English League, which we're familiar with. So, sorry if it's a bit biased towards that. We saw above actually Kashka got Mohamed Magdi Kafsha scored a couple of goals there, and he scored two goals, but they were both on penalties in 2022 World Cup qualifying. And yeah, Ramadan Sobhi is someone they put a bit of hope in. They also got a red card, Omar Gaber. And I don't actually see, I just realized that Mohamed Salah seems not to have scored there, Connor.
Yeah, I noticed that. No goals for him in 2022 World Cup qualifying. I'm not sure offhand if he played in all their games.
Yeah, I think I'll be able to tell you that. But let's introduce him to those who are not familiar with him.
All right. Is there anyone not familiar with Mo Salah at the moment? Tough to
I don't
say.
want to make assumptions of our audience, but I think most people will be familiar with him.
Yeah, so he's been with the national team for a decade now, has 75 caps and 45 goals. So a phenomenal goal scoring record, as you might expect. Of course, he plays for Liverpool in England and has since 2017. He came to Liverpool from Roma following a kind of unsuccessful spell with Chelsea prior to that. And Chelsea bought him from Basel in Switzerland, where he spent a couple of seasons.
Yeah, and then loaned him out to Italian clubs, basically. So I'll bet they regret that now.
Yeah, that was Chelsea who loaned him out to Roma, who eventually purchased him, and then Fiorentina as well.
Yeah. Well, his first game was in 2011, but because of that bad period they had, the African Cup 2012 2015 and the World Cup 2014. He only scored goals in qualifying, but of course didn't appear in the tournaments. He was actually the top scorer in the African region in 2014 when he was playing with Basel. So his first tournament was actually in 2017, and naturally he's been a starter since then. You told the story of 2018 where high hopes were placed on him until he was injured in the game before the Cup. I don't imagine Sergio Ramos is a very popular guy in Egypt.
No, I can't imagine so. Certainly there was questions about his fitness, and it did seem to weigh on him a little bit. He didn't quite look like the player we know him to be at club level.
Yeah, that's right. And he is for Egypt too most of the time. I mean, it's not just reputation. He really is an outstanding player on the field when he's at his best. And it's unfortunate that he wasn't in 2018. Any other players to mention before we move on, Connor?
None in particular, but I do want to just mention that most of the Egyptian team does play in the domestic league. Though the domestic league in Egypt is quite strong, there's a number of players from Al Ahly as well as Zamalek, who are two of the top clubs in Egypt. So, not that many players playing overseas, but there are a lot of club mates playing at top teams in the Egyptian league.
Right. I would say Ahmed Hegazi, a defender, is worth mentioning. The Al Hadari, who we mentioned in the World Cup there, of course, he's long gone, but Mohamed Al-Shanawi is now their starting keeper. And a couple of big names in the midfield, like Elneny and Trezeguet, they do have a very strong team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's move on to our next team, which is Guinea-Bissau. And do we have a nickname for them?
Yeah, the nickname is the Jertus. Which is a word for the African wild dog.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay, well, this is going to be a bit shorter than Egypt because, of course, they're not as experienced. Their first international game was in 1952 as British Gambia, but actually they didn't participate in Cups until the 1990s. Guinea-Bissau gained independence from Portugal in 1974, but didn't enter the World Cup qualification until 1998. They have participated consistently since. The same cannot be said of African Cup qualification, though, where they completed their first campaign in 1994, but their third only in 2010. A run that included, two disqualifications and three withdrawals. They were suspended in 1998 as a punishment for withdrawing in 1996, a bit of a counterintuitive punishment that CAF abandoned shortly afterwards. In 2008, the reason for their suspension was a failure to pay debts. They have participated consistently since 2010, and their local group, like Nigeria, is also the West African Football Union. As we mentioned, there have only been five editions of their cup, at least the most recent edition of their cup, and they didn't enter until 2015, though they have participated in the three tournaments since. In terms of achievement, they haven't come close to qualifying for a cup. A World Cup, I should say. Only in 2022 qualifying did they make it past the first round, which is usually a preliminary round played amongst weaker teams. In African Cup qualifying, they have never fallen at the first round, actually. They technically did in 2006 and 2010, but those qualifications were based on World Cup qualification performances. And they reached their first African Cup in 2017. You want to take us through that and the more recent cups, Connor?
Well, let's start with the World Cup overview. The African Cups.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Sorry, I got a bit lost there. Okay. Well, this isn't very long. The World Cup overview: from their first entry in 1998, They didn't pass the first round of qualification, despite some respectable results in the home legs, including a win over Guinea in 2002 and ties with Togo in, I must have the year wrong, maybe it was 2006 and 2014. No, maybe 2008. 2010? I have 2002 written down, Connor, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, help! I'm not sure. Though Togo did qualify for the World Cup in 2006, but it might be a different year there.
Yeah, anyway, sorry about that. Anyway, they tied Togo in two qualifications and Guinea in 2002. And only in 2006 did they lose both legs, falling to Mali there. So anyway, it doesn't matter that much. Let's look at their two campaigns to see if they managed to get through the preliminary round since.
So in 2018, they were one of the 26 weakest teams in Africa required to play the preliminary round. They took the advantage by tying Liberia in the away game, but then lost at home in the second leg, so made a quick exit from the cup. Two games and their road to the World Cup was over. In 2022, they again had to play in the preliminary round as one of the bottom 28 ranked teams. Their FIFA ranking was 123, and they met Sao Tome and Principe, ranked 185. They had little trouble there, even if it did take a late penalty to win the away leg. A good showing as the third-seeded team in the following round, which was a group stage, followed. They tied second seed Guinea and bested Sudan, who they meet here, who is only three places behind them in the African ranking at the beginning. However, they were thrashed by the imperious group winners Morocco, but finished a respectable second in the group stage or round two of three.
Yeah, pretty good improvement there. All right, well, let's take a look at their African Cup history. And in this case, we won't be doing a deep dive. We'll be doing a deep dive, but it's only in the recent cup. So Connor will be talking us through that one. In terms of an overview, their first African Cup campaign in 1994 saw them beat Cape Verde twice in the first round knockout, but then they lost all games in the subsequent group stage. After a long absence, they celebrated their return in 2012 with an opening win over Kenya in the first game of the qualification group. However, it was the only points they would get. After losing both, it was the only points they would get in that qualification. And after losing both games in a tough knockout with Cameroon in 2013, it would wait until 2015 for their next win. This they did, passing a round one of three knockout over Central African Republic, but then they were in turn knocked out by Botswana. And then came 2017.
All right, so I'll pick it up from here. So they were expected to finish last in qualifying in what seemed a really tough group. But out of nowhere, they shocked by taking first over Zambia, who they bested, and Congo, who handed them two losses. Interestingly, those were the only two games Congo would win. They beat Kenya twice and did the seemingly impossible, finishing first in their group.
Wow.
To reach the cup. It should be mentioned that in 2017, only 16 teams qualified, so it was a more difficult qualification than what came after that.
Right.
Once in the tournament, they did much better than expected, tying host Gabon in their opener and gloriously scoring first against eventual champions Cameroon before losing by respectable scorelines to them and Burkina Faso. And they did finish last in the group stage.
Yeah, but a competitive contest. Let's see if they were able to keep it up in 2019.
Yeah, so this is for an expanded cup. They were in a tight and topsy-turvy qualifying campaign that saw them finish first in the qualifying group. They exchanged home wins with favorite Zambia and bested Namibia. Their games with Mozambique twice saw them recover from what seemed a late losing goal to score still later to earn a draw. In the tournament, though, they were unremarkable, unlike many of the smaller teams who performed well. They lost to Cameroon and Ghana and were lucky to get a draw with Benin, but finished last in the group stage, though they did earn a point.
All right. Okay, we'll take a quick look at their local cup, and this may be more important for them than the big teams because they probably send more of their stronger players to it. WAFU is divided into two zones, and they're in the Niger zone, which has nine teams, the other zone having seven teams. So, together the two zones have played in the WAFU Nations Cup from 2010. As we mentioned, they didn't enter the first three cups, but did for the last three. However, they have not qualified for that 18 group stage yet. The predecessor to this tournament was called the Amilcar Cup and was played only among the Zone A teams. Guinea-Bissau hosted the first of these cups in 1979 and the last one in 2007. Over the 19 editions, they finished second once and fourth five times. So that's all we have for Guinea-Bissau. Do you want to do a quick summary there, Connor?
Yeah, reaching the African Cup three times in a row now is a big achievement for a team that has seemed quite feeble before 2017. Even in an expanded cup, they would not be expected to be regular qualifiers. The respectable World Cup 2022 campaign has also helped their ranking rise by about 50 points. It remains to be seen if this is a particularly good period for them or if they will remain competitive at this level.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in 2017, it seemed, you could only guess it was a flash in the pan for a team that was otherwise very weak. And in fact, they remained weak even into 2018 World Cup qualification. However, reaching the African Cup again in 2019, once again at the expense of top seed Zambia, is my beloved African team, gives them some respectability. And then doing it again in 2021, outperforming Guinea and Sudan, then in 2022 World Cup qualifying, definitely means that they're more than a flash in the pan.
I was just going to see how they did in 2021, whether they could keep that up in qualifying.
Right, let's turn to that.
So they came in as the third seed, but beat Eswatini twice, but otherwise lost all games until the final game where a home win over Congo leapfrogged them into the cup with the second place finish in the group behind top finisher Senegal. So they left it late, but finished second with a record of three wins and three losses.
Yeah, Congo again falling to Guinea-Bissau. Again, we won't look at any of their recent matches because they just played qualifiers. They didn't play any friendlies along the way. And so we'll jump to players. And I'm not familiar with most of these players, but there are a couple of names there. Frederic Mendy is familiar to me. In 2021, Piketty and Jorginho got two goals each, and then a few players got one goal. They did take a red card in one of those games. Let me see. It was against Senegal. So never helps to take a red card against Senegal. And Joseph Mendes, though, was outstanding in their 2022 World Cup campaign, scoring four of their eight goals. And there we see Piketty and Frederic Mendy again. We're going to do a feature on Jonas Mendes, their goalie. But any players that stand out to you there, Connor?
I'll just mention briefly some of the players you mentioned. So Piketty, he's a striker who plays for Al Shula in Saudi Arabia. And Frederic Mendy plays for Vitória Setúbal in Portugal. Mm. Many of these players play in Portugal, which is not surprising, given their kind of historical connection. One of their France-based players is Joseph Mendes. He plays in the second division there with a team called Niort. And as you mentioned, Mendes scoring four of their eight goals in 2022 World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, and they have a couple of players on big teams. Defender Nanu is with Porto. And midfielder Pele is with Monaco, so those are pretty good teams.
Yeah, for sure. That's bringing top level European competition experience, into this tournament. But we'll talk about Joseph Mendes, the goalie you mentioned. He's been with Guinea-Bissau since 2010 and has 50 caps to his name. He's 32 years old. Interestingly, he's actually unattached at the moment. His most recent team was Black Leopards in South Africa. And prior to that, he played with a number of different clubs in Portugal, but all kind of smaller clubs.
Right, and he started and finished the 2017 and 2019 African Cup tournaments, and will probably do the same here because he's played all of their 8 games in 2021. I should say, I think some players actually do leave themselves unattached going into a tournament like this because, with a good performance, they may get recognized by a bigger club than what they're at and benefit from that. Do you think? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think there's certainly some logic behind it. I mean, one of these things about a team like Guinea-Bissau making it into this tournament, and in fact, 3 tournaments in a row, is the exposure it gives to some of their players. And we've seen when other teams have performed exceptionally well, like Zambia in 2012, or 2012, some of their players, did get picked up by bigger clubs. So, yeah, I think you're on a platform to showcase yourself. So you're right, they might be kind of playing to be noticed.
Yeah. Anyway, that finishes Guinea-Bissau, and we're going to move on to our last team, Sudan. Do you know their nickname?
Their nickname is the Falcons of Jedian.
Oh, okay. I thought Falcons, but I didn't know Jedian. Okay, their first international game, surprisingly, was in 1956. I say surprisingly because they were one of the founders of CAF and took part in the 1957 African Cup. But I'm getting a bit ahead of myself there. We look at their participation and achievements first. Sudan's World Cup qualification campaigns began with 3 withdrawals, actually, from 1958 to 1966, making 1970 their first completed qualification. They also withdrew in 1978 and 1994, but have participated consistently since 1998. As one of the four first one of the four founding members of CAF, they joined the first African Cup in 1957. However, they either withdrew from or did not enter 6 editions, starting in 1962 and ending with 2 in a row in 1998 and 2000. But they've joined all editions from 2002 onwards. They're also part of a local group called SICAFA, the Council for East and Central African Football Associations, and they participate in the SICAFA Cup, which has a very long history. They participated in 22 of the 39 editions, most recently missing in 2009 and 2017. In terms of achievement, they've never reached the World Cup. However, their early African Cup history is glorious. They hosted the first cup and they finished in the top three in 3 of the first 4 editions. Their best result was winning it in 1970 when they hosted for the second time. And they've won the SICAFA Cup 3 times in 90 and then twice in a row in what was a good period for them. 2006 and 2007. All right, so let's take a look, a closer look at their World Cup history. They've never qualified for the World Cup, and actually, they usually get knocked out in the preliminaries, or if they do reach a group phase, they finish near the bottom of the group. They were not far off in their first completed qualification in 1970 when they beat Zambia and Ethiopia in knockout rounds and were competitive with Morocco and Nigeria, finishing 3rd in the tight group. After a series of early knockouts or withdrawals, they reached a group stage in 2002 for the first time. They did relatively well, finishing third ahead of Ghana and 4 points behind group winners Nigeria there. But in 2010, they passed a first-round group ahead of Congo, but earned only a draw they only earned a draw over the six games of the final round. Despite being generally weak, though, they have never failed to earn a point in qualification, usually earning a point, at least a point at home. That made 2014 a bit ironic, when the only two draws they earned were on the road. Anyway, let's see how they did in 2018.
In 2018, Sudan was one of the 27 top-ranked teams in Africa to receive a bye in the first round. But in the round two pairing, they lost both legs to Zambia, so were quickly out of the competition.
Right. And how about 2022?
By 2022, they had dropped into the bottom 28-ranked team, so they were required to participate in the preliminary round. Their FIFA ranking was 129, and they met Chad, who ranked 175. They won convincingly in the first leg, so it was only a minor disgrace that they tied at home in the second leg. They earned only a single home draw following that in the group stage, though that home game was actually played in Morocco. But they did well to tie second seed Guinea twice and second place finisher Guinea-Bissau away, although that game was also in Morocco. They lost both games to the imperious Morocco, who won all six of their games in the group. So it was a respectably competitive campaign, earning three draws, but draws do not yield enough points, so they finished last in that round.
Right. And Guinea-Bissau finished second, who they meet here. All right. Well, let's turn our attention to the African Cup. And we'll begin with an overview. In the African Cup, they were a strong team, coming third in the first cup and second in two of the next three. They were champions in 1970, but it was all downhill from there. They did qualify in 1972 and 76, but they didn't pass the group stage. And despite often coming close in the 1980s, they didn't qualify again until reaching the cup in 2008. This became a bit of a strong period when they reached the cup again in 2012 and even passed the group stage for the first time since 1970. But they narrowly failed to reach the cup in 2013 and were back to weak form in 2015, losing all games in the group stage except for a home win over Nigeria to spoil their campaign. We're going to take a closer look at their recent campaigns, but first we'll do a deep dive into their African Cup finals history. So top three finishes in three of the first four cups sounds impressive until one realizes that there were only three teams in the first two cups. Second place in 1963, though, was a bit more impressive since eight teams had joined qualification. They tied Egypt in that cup, and they beat Nigeria 4-0 in the group stage, losing to host Ghana in the final, so not a bad run there. However, they did fail to qualify for the two cups after that. Hosting in 1970 brought them back into competitiveness, and they took advantage, winning the title. They beat Egypt in extra time of the semi-final and Ghana in the final. They qualified for two of three cups after that, but they were knocked out at the group stage. And their star really faded from 1978, either withdrawing from the competition or failing to qualify. It glowed briefly again from 2008 to, say, 2013. They reached the cup in 2008 after an impressive qualifying campaign where they finished ahead of Tunisia. They lost all games, though, in a decidedly tough group stage. It was a 3-0 loss to each of Zambia, Egypt, and Cameroon, And if you think about those three teams, all of them were champions within 4 years of this competition. Their 2012 group stage was a bit gentler. After an opening loss to Ivory Coast, they tied Angola and beat Burkina Faso to reach the quarterfinals. And then, in an echo of 2008, they lost 3-0 to Zambia, who went on to win the tournament. We saw that they failed to reach the cup in 2015, so let's see how they've done since then.
All right, so for 2017, they came into a three-team group in pot two and looked worthy of it, beating Sierra Leone in their opener. They also tied Ivory Coast at home, but losing both away games saw them finishing last in a tight qualifying group. For 2019, it was a poor result in a generally weak performance that kind of surged a little bit in the middle. Game four saw them almost holding group winner Senegal to a goalless draw until a late winner decided the matter, and it was followed by an unlikely win in Madagascar, who were second place finishers. This gave them hope of beating Equatorial Guinea in their last game to take third place, but a heavy loss saw them finishing last in the qualifying group, losing five of their six matches.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick look at their local cup before we saw how they did in 2021. So as mentioned, they're members of CECAFA. That's a group of East African teams that have a competition every year, or in recent times, every 2 years. And they won an early version in 1980 and then twice in a row in 2006 and 2007. That coincides with their African Cup qualification in 2008. So that seems to have been a strong period. Second place in 2013 CECAFA Cup was their best recent finish, but in 2017, they didn't participate, as is sometimes the case. 2019 saw them knocked out in the group stage by Kenya and Tanzania, not very strong teams there. They did not take part in the Arab Cup in the six editions from 1963 to 92, but they did participate in the four editions from 1998 to present. And they were knocked out at the group stage every time. We'll take a quick look at the most recent Arab Cup here. And they played a couple of friendlies since. You want to talk us through those, Connor, or do you want me to do it?
So they had a in the Arab Cup, they lost to Algeria, Egypt, and Lebanon, failing to score a goal. And then in two friendlies, they lost 3-2 and then tied 0-0 in Zimbabwe for a good result there.
Right, and they've played a couple of oh yes, you talked about that. Okay, let's move on to the 2021 African Cup qualifying.
All right. Two last place finishes in their most recent two qualifyings perhaps didn't give a lot of reason for optimism for 2021. However, they performed quite well. They lost to South Africa and Ghana away, but otherwise won all games, including a home win over South Africa in their last game, which saw them leapfrog South Africa into a second place finish in the qualifying group, despite coming in as a third seed. They also beat São Tomé and Príncipe twice and finished with four wins and two losses. So a really strong performance.
Yeah, and this is more a bit more representative of Sudan, who are very strong at home. Just going back to that recent match, I had a bit of a typing error on the thing there. They lost actually 3-2 at home to Ethiopia, kind of contradicting completely what I've just said, and they tied in Zimbabwe. So kind of a string of kind of not good results coming into this competition here. All right, we'll take a quick look at their scorers here. But I must admit, I'm not really familiar with any of these names because they haven't been in an African Cup for a while. But anyway, Mohamed Abdel Rahman seems to be their top scorer here, getting three goals, three of their 8 goals in 2021, and then 2 of their 7 goals in 2022 World Cup qualifying. And I don't really see any pattern there. Ramadan Ajeb got 3 goals in 2022. And 1 in 2021. The names are actually very tricky here, Connor, because they're spelled differently on websites. So I have quite a tough time keeping track of their players. Yeah. Anyway, do you have any players to take us through there?
We'll go through Mohamed Abdelrahman as our feature player in a moment, but I will mention that the squad consists almost exclusively of players playing in the domestic Sudanese league. No real players that kind of stand out, or even no big clubs that stand out there. All right, so for Mohamed Abdelrahman, he's been with Sudan since 2017, and in that time has 20 caps and 13 goals, so a very good return. He plays domestically with Al Hilal. We saw him show up as among the leading goal scorers in their recent qualifying campaign. So he's probably the main goal threat. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Again, there's nothing really to talk about in terms of previous tournaments because they haven't reached a tournament recently. So again, we'll kind of have to wait till this tournament to see if he justifies that amazing goal scoring record, scoring in 65% of his games. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of Sudan. So now we're going to move on to part three and talk about the prospects of each team, starting with the FIFA rankings, Connor.
Right, so Nigeria is the pot one team and Egypt are the pot two team, but they're very close in the rankings. Nigeria has the edge in FIFA. They're 36 overall, and they're 52nd according to the ELO system. That's 5th or 6th in Africa, depending on which system you're using. Egypt is 45th in FIFA and 50th in ELO. So while they're 9 spots behind Nigeria in FIFA rankings, they're actually 2 spots ahead of them in the ELO rankings.
Yeah.
So we see that a little bit. But I think the main point is that they're very close in both, whatever system you use, they're both in the top 6 teams in Africa, despite ending up in the same group. Guinea-Bissau, they're the pot 3 team. They're 106th in FIFA and 103rd in ELO. Which puts them as the 24th or 20th top-ranked team in Africa, depending on which system you're using. And Sudan is a pot 4 team. They're ranked 125th in FIFA and 132nd in ELO. So they're near the closer to the bottom of African teams, 33rd in FIFA rankings and 38th in the ELO system.
Okay, so yeah, I think in summary, Nigeria and Egypt are quite close. Actually, Nigeria was near the bottom of pot one, second bottom, I think, and Egypt was the top of pot two. So they actually are close, even in the rankings there. We'll take a quick look at the odds. Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, well, the only thing we could get here was kind of outright odds. So that means for winning the whole tournament. So Egypt is the 4th most likely team to do so. And Nigeria is the 6th most likely team. So unlike the FIFA rankings, in a lot of other metrics, Egypt is being ranked ahead of Nigeria. But I kind of agree with Connor that it's just very close all in all. Guinea-Bissau is ranked 16th. If you put a dollar on them to win the tournament, and they did, you would get $156. And Comoros is 18th most likely. So 18 out of the 24 teams is basically their ranking by the odds makers.
Sorry, I should mention just for Sudan, They're 22nd. So the third, consider the third least likely, I suppose, to win the tournament.
Oh, sorry. I somehow put Comoros on the graphic there, but it is Sudan. 22nd. Thanks for jumping in there, Connor.
No problem. Yeah, real outsiders for sure. You
Yeah.
want to take us through the head-to-head record?
Yeah, without too much detail, Nigeria versus Egypt. Nigeria have a slightly better record than Egypt over major competitions, with 5 wins, 3 draws, and 4 losses. So that's almost dead even. They met in the semi-final of the 1984 African Cup, where they played to a 2-2 draw, and then Nigeria won 8-7 on penalties. But most recently, Egypt have the better of it, besting them in 2017 African Cup qualifying. So they look very even on that metric also. Nigeria has never played Guinea-Bissau, but they have a superior record over Sudan, but not as much as one might think. It's only 6 wins, 4 draws, and 2 losses. But again, a lot of that was in early African Cup when Sudan was a lot stronger. Egypt have never played Guinea-Bissau, so nothing there. And they have a winning record over Sudan, quite convincingly so. 8 wins, 2 draws, and just 1 loss. That 1 loss came in the 1970 African Cup semi-final, which Sudan won. They last played in 2008, where Egypt won 3-0. And finally, Guinea-Bissau have a winning record over Sudan. As we saw, they met only in the 2022 World Cup qualifying, and Guinea-Bissau bested them there, winning 4-2 away, actually, and then tying at home. So a bit of an interesting history there. And that brings us to our discussion of prospects. Do you want to start us off, Connor?
Yeah, well, I think what's clear from the rankings, and also in terms of really just African Cup and history, is you have two top teams in Nigeria and Egypt, and then, in Guinea-Bissau and Sudan, two teams that, where being in this tournament is perhaps an achievement in itself. Guinea-Bissau have now made 3 in a row, but have kind of struggled to make much of an impression. So I do see Nigeria and Egypt both advancing in the 1 and 2 spot, but it being very close between the both of them. It's possible that they could tie each other and end with identical records. So I think it's pretty close to call at the top. But how do you see especially that first place battle going?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting how many parallels there are between Nigeria and Egypt. We saw that, I don't mean they're the top two teams in Africa because right now they're not, but in terms of their long historical record, they are. And they both had kind of a terrible time in the 2010s, and both of them are coming off that, having earned one really good result since. So it's really going to come down to consistency between them. And in terms of consistency, I see Egypt as a little bit more consistent in recent campaigns. We saw Nigeria kind of lost to Central African Republic in one of their games, and they dropped points to I can't remember, but another fairly weak team at home. They tied Sierra Leone. That's what it was. So it's really only the FIFA metric that has Nigeria ahead, and a lot of the other metric, such as their recent head-to-head record, and the odds makers, as we saw, and ELO putting Egypt ahead. So I would give Egypt a slight advantage, and I think they have a bit more motivation. Didn't do as well as they hoped in 2018 and 2019 with Mohamed Salah. So I think they'll be motivated to kind of mark his era with a good result. What do you make of that, Connor?
Yeah, just in terms of inconsistency, Nigeria lost to Madagascar in the group stage at the last African Cup. So they do have that as well. I agree with Egypt, wanting to be very motivated, to do well in this tournament. They have been underwhelming recently. The 2018 World Cup was very disappointing in the group stage, and then of course going out early last time around in a tournament which they hosted, so they'll be eager to make up for that. And of course, with such a global star as Mohamed Salah, they will see this as perhaps an opportunity, to do well. They'll want to succeed while he's kind of at the top of his game. But I perhaps give a slight edge to Nigeria just because Egypt, despite having Mohamed Salah, they haven't probably done as well as would have been expected once you get to the final stage. Whereas Nigeria, when they get to this tournament, as we saw, 14 out of 16 editions, a spell where they were finishing in the top three. So I think Nigeria tend to perform well at the African Cups. I think their record shows that. So yeah, it's very close and could go either way. But perhaps I'll, disagree with you and give the edge to Nigeria here.
Okay, well, I gotta say, as you were talking there, I was thinking that, sometimes having a big name on the team kind of works against you. I'm trying to think of the Swedish guy who that was true for.
Yeah, Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, and I don't think Mohamed Salah dominates play as much as Ibrahimovic there, but it just may be. I mean, Argentina too with Messi. It just may be that things rotate around that player too much, and maybe kind of ruin the flow of the team somehow.
Yeah, I couldn't help think about the very same thing that sometimes having a one superstar, you look at there are plenty of examples where it hasn't necessarily translated into trophies. And I think when they perhaps with Messi or Ibrahimovic or Salah, with no disrespect to their national teams, when they go into their national setup, they are the focus, whereas at their clubs teams playing for illustrious clubs, there's a lot of other players around them, so it kind of takes some of the pressure off them to deliver, or kind of carry the team on their back.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about where I'm gonna land in my final comment here, but I totally agree with you about Guinea-Bissau and Sudan not being strong enough to challenge at the top. If they manage to pull off a draw against one of those teams, that would probably be the deciding factor at the top. But I don't really even see them doing that. Between them, you can't kind of overlook the fact that Guinea-Bissau just bested Sudan. But Sudan's a very old team, and they do kind of pop up with a strong showing once in a while. So I give Guinea-Bissau the edge there, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Sudan come in third.
Yeah, I think for Sudan, a lot of their strength comes from home games, and they're playing away here. And you're right, the very recent head-to-head record does favor Guinea-Bissau. So I probably favor them as well. But perhaps for Sudan, as a pot four team, there may be other groups where they might not have expected to get a point. I think it's realistic they can win that game. With a good showing, they'll perhaps be underdogs, but yeah, it's not beyond them to get a point. So I think they'll be perhaps grateful to be in a group where they have an opportunity. And if they do win, they could possibly go through as a third place team. So, there's a lot of motivation to do well.
Yeah, well, interestingly, the first game of the group is the really decisive one at both ends of the table, because Nigeria and Egypt play first, and then Sudan and Guinea-Bissau play first. So I think, the results of those games will maybe dictate how the group goes.
Yeah, with the possibility perhaps of a team resting players, if Nigeria or Egypt win their opener, they may be able to rest players for the final game, which could be a factor as well.
Yeah. Anyway, Connor, I believe you're contradicting yourself all over the place. So will you give it to me straight? How is this group going to turn out?
I'm going to go with Nigeria group winners, Egypt second, Guinea-Bissau third, and Sudan fourth. Do you
Okay.
agree?
I was just kidding. It's me that's been contradicting myself all over the place. And I am gonna you've actually persuaded me a little bit, but I'm gonna stick with my initial feeling that Egypt will come out on top, Nigeria second, Guinea-Bissau third, and Sudan fourth. But of course, I would not be surprised to see the top or the bottom switch places. I would just be surprised to see any movement between the top half and the bottom half.
Yeah. As for prospects for the tournament, can Nigeria or Egypt win it?
I mean, Egypt came second, was it in 2017? And
That's right.
Nigeria came third in 2019. So they both have a possibility of winning it, but honestly, I think both would kind of have to up their game to challenge teams like Algeria and Senegal. So I would say a semi-final finish would be a good achievement for both of them.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't see them as good as Algeria or Senegal, the two top teams, as you mentioned. So I don't really see them winning it. But they can certainly both go on a run. And I think semifinals, as you said, would be a good achievement.
Yeah, and of course it would never surprise if either of them did, because they're both in the longer scheme of things, top teams in Africa. So, a good year like Nigeria had in 2013, just kind of coming out of the blue to win that cup, a good year could see them through. All right, well, great talking to you about this, Connor. Do you want to kind of take us out here?
Yeah, so just a reminder to our listeners that you can find all our African Cup podcasts available on our website at soccerfiles.captivate.fm. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. And you can email us at soccerfiles, that's soccerfiles with a PH, at gmail.com.
That's right. And if you search Soccer Files on Google, I think we come up somewhere there.
That's
And
right.
yeah. All
All
right.
right.
Well, thanks so much, Connor. It's been great talking to you about this.
Yes, thanks again, and I'll see you in Group E.
All right. Bye-bye.